Beautiful. I can just hear it's, you know, this work from home business. I can hear my neighbor downstairs has just started a, he runs all his voice calls in the garden downstairs on loudspeaker. And I'm like, does everyone have to hear your work meeting? I'm like, I don't care what you and your colleagues are talking about, but I have to hear his work meetings and his daily workout. He puts his dance music on and lifts weights down there. And I'm like, oh my God, can you go back to work? Anyway, I can hear him on a call, but we'll just ignore him. Brigida, hello, my love. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. I haven't seen you in a little while. How's everything?
I know. I've been kind of, it's been crazy. Now, I don't mind this, but for some reason, mine's recording.
Oh, you, I think that'll just be recording to your computer. So
to me. Okay. All right. Just
if you want to like, record it, you're more than welcome.
Well, I guess I am. All righty then. Okay.
Nice to see you here. How are you going?
Oh, good. Very good. It's been busy. I actually worked a lot today. But it's good. I made it.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. It's good to not be running something.
You can come in to receive rather than having to teach and give. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Enjoy. I am going to get my,
That you're hearing an annoying neighbor.
he's all right, but he just thinks, I don't know, he just is not aware of anyone else who might be working from home and might want some silence. He's kind of like, oh, well, I work home, so I'm going to do whatever I want. And I'm like, mate, I've been here working from home for months, so you need to be considerate. But anyway, he does his own thing. All right, let me get my notes. Lucky my boyfriend is out doing a photo shoot today, so I'm like, yay, I have the house to myself while I'm teaching, which is so nice rather than having to like hide in the bedroom because he's here. Okay, so today's class, we're talking about intuition. We're talking about our feminine intuition, and I'm going to share this through the perspective of self, like of trust. So we're going to be talking about intuition under the kind of, and its connection to trust, either trusting life and trusting ourselves, and then how that helps us in building trust in relationship with others, this sort of foundation of having trust within ourselves. And I meant to go back and read your comment, Brigida, because I know you posted in the Facebook group that that was something you're really focusing on, is trust within yourself. So I think this conversation will flow in really beautifully with maybe what's been coming up. Yeah, and then we'll be sort of, talking about just inner guidance as a general, tapping into our feminine inner guidance, particularly through our body, and really feeling and understanding the way that, I just think it's such a gift of being a woman, the connection we have with our bodies and how much guidance we can get through our bodies. So that's going to be the big sort of theme of our conversations today. I'll start on intuition, and then second half will be more self-trust. That's how I'll kind of structure it. So again, I feel like one of the many gifts of being a woman is that we are, because we're more sensitive, because we have a more sensitive nervous system, I feel like we have a time accessing intuition than men do. Men are definitely intuitive without a doubt, but there's something about as a woman being so much more in tune with our bodies and our feelings and having a more sensitive nature that I think makes it easier for us to tap into our intuition and live guided by it. And I think that's a real gift, and it's so important that I think, I'll talk about this in a minute, but one of the starting points is that we all start to claim that choose to believe and claim that gift of being intuitive. Just set the foundation of like, as a woman, a big part of my natural essence is being intuitive. And I'm going to start to claim that as one of my greatest gifts. And I'm going to believe in the presence and existence of that intuition. And I'm going to deepen my trust in it and my connection with it and start to build it in as a very key guiding force in your life and a very key part of how you live your life is from this intuitive from this energy that's moving through you and that you can access. And so let me just share why I sort of feel like being intuitive is important and tapping into our intuition. So intuition as an energy is more of a loving form of guidance than the other form of guidance we can access, which is our mind, which our mind, a lot of the times, as we know, is programmed on fear or limitation or past wounding or, you know, needing proof and evidence to believe in something. Whereas our intuition is a very pure, loving, unconditionally supportive energy. It's also expansive rather than limited. So I find intuitive guidance is free of those limitations that we so often put on ourselves. Your intuition doesn't say to you, I know you want to leave your job and set up your business, but you can't do that because you don't have enough money. You know, that's what the mind will tell you. The intuition, your intuition, your inner guidance is just like, honey, just like go do what you love. It's a very expansive, limitless possibilities kind of energy. It also means that we're living our life guided by the divine. So we are inviting in the divine to be a part of our lives, to support us and lead us, whatever that definition means to you. Rather than, again, the perception of just like, here I am as Connie, this human, and I'm alone in the world and I've got to figure everything out by myself. Living intuitively allows us to come into a greater state of surrender and flow and receptivity, right? Where it's less like I've got to figure everything out by myself and be in control. And it's more like I can open up and allow myself to flow and be guided through my life and feel really supported. And it allows us to go beyond past experiences, past programming, and actually really come into the unknown and be like, you know, the mind likes to keep us in the known. I know we all know this stuff, but I just think it's an important foundation just to reiterate. You know, the mind keeps us in the known and will just keep us repeating the past. We will continue to only believe we're capable of what we've already had or what we've already seen ourselves have. We need evidence when we're in the mind to prove that something's possible. Intuition doesn't need any evidence at all. It's based on knowing, it's based on feeling. And all you need to have is the feeling and the knowing. And with that, you can step into the unknown, knowing that things are going to work out without needing proof and evidence. The other beautiful thing that being intuitive does for us is it allows us to reclaim so much of our power, because there is such a tendency to be looking, you know, externally for guidance. We all do it, whether we consult our partner or our peers, whether we look to what our family have already achieved or done, whether we ask people for advice, whether we're constantly going to, you know, I remember being like obsessed with online tarot card readers, and every month I would have to read what was happening, have to watch what was happening in my star sign. And I put so much power in these people. Like I would come into a new month being like, oh, this is going to be a great month. And then they, you know, pull the tower card or the death card, and they're going to be like, this is going to be a challenging month for you. And I would put my power in them, or I'd put my power in an intuitive reader that I would work with, or I know my sister sees psychics a lot, without realizing we're giving away little bits of our power constantly. But when we very, very deeply live in alignment with our intuition and believe in our intuition, we become the source of the guidance. We become the source of the answers. We become the source of all of the advice and the wisdom that we need, which doesn't mean we don't need other people and doesn't mean we don't help get people to help point out our blind spots, but it's this incredible reclaiming of power. And this has been coming up in my mastermind a lot, actually, is I love this point of working with people where people start to feel like there's less questions they have to ask me. It used to happen in my one-on-one coaching a lot. We get about 3/4 of the way through a program, and it's almost like they didn't need me anymore, because they began to learn how to find all the answers and the guidance and the solutions within themselves. That's why I think, you know, living from our intuition is just such a gift. Like I said, it doesn't mean that we don't ever need that external support, but there's so much we can turn to ourselves for. And so this beginning kind of step in awakening more of the presence of our feminine intuition within us, as I said at the start, is believing that you are intuitive and that there is always guidance that you can access. There is an energy and a presence that is, you know, deeper and more expansive and more loving than your mind that you can turn to for answers and support. And in any moment, you can be choosing which energy you're going to be listening to and which energy is going to be guiding you. whether it's consulting your mind on something or consulting your inner wish, intuition, your deeper inner guidance on something. And then we get to choose in each moment which energy is going to, you know, guide our lives. And I guess what I consider intuition to be, and maybe reflect on this and then, hang on a second, reflect on this in yourself, like almost how you would define intuition or what intuition means to you. But for me, if I was to give you my definition, it's a form of guidance that I feel like I receive. And it's a guidance that for me, and again, you find your own definition of it, but I sometimes say it comes from the universe, it comes from my soul, it comes from my higher self, it comes from my spirit guide. So it feels like it comes from a spiritual energy for me that is a divine expansive energy that I receive and I feel in my body. So I receive it into my body. And it's almost just like a process of opening up to allow that to drop in. And you can feel it in all different ways. I often feel it as a knowing in my belly, like a gut instinct on something, like I just know. And you often find that with intuition. There's no justification or explanation needed. It's just a knowing. And that can drop in for me very clearly and very solidly. So you might even reflect on a time too where you just had an instant yes or no on something. I know if I'm ever apartment hunting, for example, all I have to do is step foot in a place and I get an instant yes or no in my body. My body just instantly tells me whether it's the right space for me or not. Same when I meet people, same when an opportunity comes. But then you might also access intuition or higher guidance in other ways. For me, I hear words in my ear. It often comes in my right ear, which is, I'm unsure why it's not my left, because that's more so your feminine receptive side, but it always comes in my right ear. Or I see images, like a photo almost drops in of an image of something that I need to, that has symbols for me to interpret. What else? Or I might get other sensations in my body besides a gut instinct. I might have, I don't know, sometimes like a closure, like a no, like my chest kind of closes down and I'm like, no, or something feels much more expansive and my body opens. But I think the first couple of steps in this process are obviously believing in your intuition, which I believe you all already do. And I think you all have this connection already. And then really understanding how it communicates to you. And maybe also reflecting over different times in your life where you've felt this guidance and how it has communicated to you in each of those situations. Because the more familiar we become with it, the more we recognize it. The other place it can come is through the external, in the form of like synchronicities, you know, where you can be thinking of something and then someone suddenly talks about it, or you were thinking to yourself, oh, I really want to, you know, learn more about my feminine energy. And then you're talking to someone and they've just read this book that's the perfect book for you to read. And you're like, oh, wow. It's like the universe just is delivering what you need. Or you find yourself being guided to being at the right place at the right time, or you're seeing repeating numbers. There's still, I feel like this intuitive living thing is like we're co-creating with the universe. There's sort of this continual flow of communication between our energy field and the universe, and then we're working cohesively together, and life is guiding us and we're responding and flowing, and it's really beautiful. So often I don't know if any of you have ever sort of struggled with this, but I definitely have found times when I'm like, how do I know it's my mind and how do I know it's my intuition? And that becomes even harder when there's emotion there. I find particularly in relationships, that's probably the hardest place I find to get real clarity on what is my mind and what is my intuition. And again, maybe just be reflecting on this in yourself, but what I would sort of say is the difference I notice is that I feel like when there's an energy that comes from your mind or your thinking, there's a lot more story to it. There's a lot more words. There's a lot more analysis. There's a lot more thinking and like a lot more noise, and it's faster. It's more complex and there's a whole story to it. Whereas I find intuition is so pure and clean in its guidance. And sometimes it's literally like two words. It's a slower tone of voice. It is much more simple. There's no justification. There's no reason why. There's no analysis. It's just like this very pure, almost like statement of what is. Whereas I find the mind is always very wrapped up in thinking. And you can feel the difference. Like I find even if my mind's trying to speak to me the way my intuition would, because it does that, because it's a little bit sneaky like that, you'll find there's a purity and a clarity to intuition, which doesn't mean that it doesn't have emotion around it, and also which doesn't mean it doesn't have thinking around it. So you might find, like, say at the moment I'm actually have been feeling quite a strong intuitive feeling around a change that I want to make. And so I've sort of been like, I can just feel it landing in my body as a knowing of something I want to do. But around that is a lot of thinking and a lot of emotion. And that's because following that intuitive knowing it's triggering a part of me that's afraid of that. It's bringing up some resistance. It's bringing up like anxiety about it, and it's almost questioning it too. So then I've got the mind coming in questioning that feeling. But if you can drop below all of that, you'll find the intuitive feeling is it's clean, it's clear, it's like a statement. And like I said, doesn't mean then that following intuition is just light and ethereal and flowy and easy. You're often going to have to navigate resistance of the mind. But I find when it's just my mind telling me something, it always has reasons and justifications and also an agenda. So say I've got this one decision that is an intuitively guided decision. The other option is my mind telling me what I should do. And I can hear the stories of my mind being, you should do this because, and that makes sense because, and that would be right because it's like old story. So that's usually how I feel the difference. And what you might need to do sometimes if you can't feel and find what the intuitive truth is on something is you almost need to sometimes process all the top layers first before you can drop into what the clear knowing is. Like it's almost like I see it as layers, like the clear knowing almost like sits in your gut, like just pure, like, cut through the bullshit truth. But then for you to find that, sometimes you're gonna have to process all these layers of emotion on top, you know, which we've talked about before, about how to hold space for yourself to release those emotions. You might need to witness, okay, what are some of the fears? What's the resistance? What's the story? What am I, what's the doubt? And then once you can clear that and witness all of that, you'll find and feel the truth that's sitting at the core. That's how I would kind of explain it for me, but I would be interested when we open up to even hear your experience of how intuition communicates with you as well, because I'm a very kinesthetic person. So a lot of this is very, very like earth through the body for me. But if you're more of a visual or auditory person, you might have different ways intuition communicates. So yeah, we'll open up and have a little just reflection on that in a minute. But when it comes to, you know, living intuitively, and again, I feel like a lot of you kind of know this, but it's this beautiful process of living guided from within, living guided by feeling, living guided in the living in the present moment, following always what feels right. Like it's deep self-honoring of what feels right, regardless of whether, almost regardless of the external, like regardless of whether you see an external limitation around that, regardless of whether someone might not like it, you might trigger someone, you might lose money, you might, whatever it is. And it's this co-creation with the universe. So the more that you place your trust and faith in that feeling, I almost feel like the universe rewards you. I wonder if you've also experienced that too. Like, I've found every time I've taken a massive risk by placing my full faith in that feeling, even when I have no proof with my eyes that everything's going to be okay, the rewards that life then gives me in return are just magic. Like, life rewards your courage. And it's like, then the money comes, then the opportunity comes, then everything you need. Like, it's almost like then life responds to you. Life then changes to reflect that solidness that you feel in yourself as you are just following that feeling. And life goes, oh, okay, we're going to change now to reflect the certainty that she has about this working out or about what's going to happen now. So, you know, and I just know the times that, and I'm always struggling with this, kind of navigating this, but the times that I ignore my intuition, talk myself out of my intuition, hesitate on my intuition, let the fear win, that's when I feel like life contracts. That's when I feel like the flow stops. I know particularly in business, that's when the money stops. That's when I start to feel stuck and contracted and limited in my life. So, yeah, I mean, we never want to judge ourselves if in a moment we're just not ready to act on what that intuitive feeling is. We're needing to be in the fear space to process it. But I think it's always about continuing to drop down to what that inner knowing is. A couple of ways that you can strengthen your relationship with your intuition if you're sort of working on wanting to deepen that. I have found, like, I just remember when I first started doing this, I always really validated my intuition. Like, if I got a feeling or guidance around something, I would say to myself, that's my intuition. That's my intuition speaking to me. And I validated it as a real presence in my life. And that just made it so much more real. I also found, you know, creating rituals, and I'm sure you all have your beautiful rituals that you do, but morning time was incredible for me to, like, I actually would sit down in my morning time, and I think I still do, with the intention is that that's my time to commune and be in communication with the divine and the universe and my intuition. And so for me personally, my morning time is less like self-care and more like tuning in to receive guidance. And the way you can do that, you know, using oracle cards, I found that really helped strengthen my intuition. So I would pull cards, and sometimes before even reading the message in the card, I would just look at it and pick and feel into what intuitively am I sensing about this card? Like, what am I hearing? What am I feeling? What am I picking up from it? And then I'd read the description later. That was a beautiful thing that really helped me feel into what I could pick up from something. I also actually started doing it in my coaching sessions about 1 or 2 years into business. Before a session, I would sit down and I'd tune into the person. I just feel like I put my energy on them. And I'd be like, okay, what am I picking up on about this person before this session? And I just make notes on whatever was coming to mind. And the thing that's so important is you can't make any of it wrong. You just got to be like, okay, this is what my intuition is telling me, even if you think you're making it up. And so I would make notes of just whatever I'd pick up on, like a feeling, an emotion, I'd hear something. And that was a really cool practice too, that actually has allowed my intuition to be so present in my coaching sessions these days. I would also do Q&A writing with my intuition. So that's pretty much what I do these days as well. I would sit down and pose a question, an open-ended question, like, what do I need to know about this? Or, like, even when I first started dating Jason, what do I need to know about Jason? What guidance do you have for me on Jason at the moment? And they'd always tell me, like, what I needed to work on. They didn't tell me stuff about him, but, I would just pose whatever question, or what do I need to know about my living situation, or what's next for me in my business, or what should I be focusing on and working on within myself right now? And then I just start writing, and I'd find it would start off like it was me, And then the more that I just was in the flow, an energy would take over. And that's really how I began to actually channel, was I would do that and I would realize halfway through, hang on a second, this isn't me that's writing this. Or I'd read it back and I'd be like, I don't even remember that. So that was how I began to open up that real flow. I mean, all this stuff I've sort of already said, but really like pay attention to every sign, every symbol or synchronicity you get from life, and maybe even make note of it. I used to like journal about that at the end of the day, any little cool synchronicities or manifestations or little divine things that popped in. You know, Gabby Bernstein often teaches like ask for a sign, like be like, okay, show me a butterfly today. Or if I see a red ladybird, or she always had owls. She's like, if I see an owl, or if I see a message on a number plate or something. And that can be actually a really fun game. It's like actually then just move through life and stay really open and receptive and see if you have that message drop in for you. What else do I have here? And I think just the other thing, and again, I mean, you all already know this, but for our intuition to speak to us, we need space. And so I found the times that I'm really busy and I'm running through life a lot with my plans and I'm not making room to have space and receive, they're the times I can't really hear my intuition much. But the more that I soak in the bath or go for a walk in nature or do my morning practice, it's that space that it's like the guidance is always there. It just depends how much noise, mind clutter and emotions are on top of it. So if you're ever finding it hard to feel or hear your intuition, it's not that it's not there. It's just that then there's too much noise on top, or you're sort of too amped up. We're not in that sort of softer, more receptive space to be able to hear it. And the other thing I started doing as well around accessing higher, like spirit guide kind of messages, is I would work a lot on my chakras. So I was doing a consistent chakra meditation for a while with Belinda Davidson. She has this great chakra meditation on her website. And I was also doing one-on-one work with Belinda Davidson. And we were opening up my higher chakras, and also you have chakras that go right above like 6 to 12, I think, higher chakras. And as we began to open them, I began to receive visual images and communication with higher spirit guides. And I'd start to see images of what they look like. I would imagine myself going to a place where we would sit and talk together. I would also begin imagining my higher self. So I would imagine that I had a higher self that could communicate with me, and I would set the intention to connect with her and sort of just see what images would come to mind and what I'd pick up, and began to almost commune with her as a presence. And as I did that, I found like other beings came in as well. And like I said, the flow writing really helped invite that in. And I think reading, there's a book, some of you might know this author, Sanaya Roman. So she channels material and it's beautiful material. And she has a book, Spiritual Growth, which is like one of my favorite all-time books. And I'm pretty sure there's a section in there, like she takes you through a guided exercise to meet your higher self. And I was working through a few exercises like that that gave me a bit of a framework of things to kind of imagine. And that again opened up the relationship with me, with them. But again, the more you believe in that, the presence of that guidance, the more you'll see it and you'll hear it. It was when I started to actually say, oh, I think these are spirit guides communicating with me, that their presence became stronger. And the other thing, the only other final thing there as well, is I think what helps us access higher guidance is when our body's not in survival mode. So I found I spent a lot of years of my life operating in survival mode. Like you're in the lower chakras, you know, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like you can't, that's what it's called, right? You can't go to self-actualization at the top if you're down here, like just trying to get your basic needs met for food and shelter and safety. And so sometimes if you have unresolved lower chakra stuff, childhood wounds, still not feeling safe from childhood, feeling like you don't belong, feeling ungrounded, I found that would interfere with my ability to open up my higher chakras and receive guidance. Or I would just bypass the lower chakras to get higher guidance, and then I'd become totally woo-woo and just feel like I wasn't really connected to reality. So building out the lower chakras, your base chakra, grounding, being in your body, feeling a sense of belonging to the earth, to your family, healing childhood wounds. There's mantras and meditations you can work with to strengthen the lower chakras. That really gave me the foundation to open up my higher chakras as well. All right. I'm going to move on in a minute to talking about trust, and particularly trusting in our intuition, trusting in it around making decisions, and then talking about self-trust in general. But I'm just really curious if as I've been talking, any of you have kind of like had, I'd even just like to hear actually for each of you how your intuition communicates, or what your experience has been like with your intuition. Does anyone feel to share on that? I'd just be curious to hear anything besides my own experience of it. I think everyone wants to jump on. Someone can just start talking. Whoever wants to go. Brigida, there you go.
You're okay. Because I just started doing, through this program, I don't know how it came up, but anyway, I started saying I'm doing journaling from the heart. So it's like the same thing you said, like I ask an open-ended question, like what do you need or what do I need to know about, not even anything specific sometimes, it's just like, whoa. And what I noticed was really interesting, and I haven't done a lot of it, but I think I mentioned this, my handwriting was completely different. Mm-hmm. So I can flip through my journal and see, oh, there, okay, my handwriting's different, and it's fast, and it's coming out really, and I actually afterwards I'm like, it's a lot of energy. But I had, and I was just sharing this with my group today, I had one time that was so funny. I'm writing and then some other sentence popped in, and then I asked right away, I said, was that just my fear or my ego? And it was like, yeah, good job. That's what it looks like. And it was fascinating to see the language is different. And what was so funny is that, like, the guidance I got was, and this is funny because I have a cat, and they said, your fear is a puffed up cat. So it's trying to make itself bigger to scare you, but that's all it's doing. It's just a puffed up cat. And I was like, oh, I need to do smart journaling about that. So I looked up like a picture of this cat that's like all like freaked out. And so that was really cool, but it was really good for me just to, like, I couldn't have come up with that myself. Because for me, it's like it's a metaphor or an analogy that really works for me, where I can just see it. It's like, oh, it's the cloak and mirrors thing that the fear does for you. So that was cool, but also just seeing the writing is different.
Yeah,
I mean, that was fascinating to me. I on some intuitive level, I said, "What was that I just wrote?" And it was just like, so it's been fun. I don't do it a lot, but when I have time, if I feel called to do it, I just say, "Okay, let's do it."
Yeah.
It's been really cool,
isn't it? Particularly when, as you said, you notice the difference. So, like, I also notice I have different language. When it comes from my higher guidance, there's different language to what I would ever normally use coming from my mind. And I get the same. I get the, like, it's coming through so fast. Like, I can't even, sometimes I'm typing it out, can't even keep up because it's just dropping in.
Yeah. And it's very much, so far, it's been like two words. You know, like there's been one, dissolve, it's done, stand firm, and it was like the repetition of, like,
yeah.
I don't talk to myself that way.
Yeah.
So, and then when I go back and reread it, it's a little hard because my writing is all over the place, but it's like, okay, yeah, I get that. I get the message there. It's been fun. It's really cool.
That's exactly right. It's so interesting sometimes when it's literally just one word, but that word seems to carry the whole entirety of the message you need to get in that one word.
Yeah, just like boom, there.
Yeah.
It's cool. So I've been enjoying it. And like I said, when I flip through my journal, I can see it's so like the writing is just so different. Yes. Even though it's the same pencil, it's just different handwriting. It's fascinating. Fascinating.
Nice.
And the language is different too.
Yeah, it's different. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So good. Who else wants to share? This is really nice to hear other people's experiences.
I can go next. For me, it's always through journaling. But I do like to write early in the morning. But what I've noticed is really interesting is my intuition is always, and most of the decisions I make, or most like the realizations I have when I need to make a big decision, is always the day or 2 days before my period. And it's always when it's like all of a sudden, I tend to get PMS, but I think also the PMS is sometimes just because maybe throughout the month I'm not owning my emotions as much. And then when I get the PMS, there's just like, there's no room for not owning those emotions. So it's a lot easier for me just to know exactly what I need to know without any filters. So some months it's maybe a little, it'll just come kind of as you explain it. It's just like this knowing in the gut of just like, this is where I need to go next. Like, this is the next thing I need to do. And for me, every decision I've ever made in my life, I've always waited for that gut knowing. And kind of like what you were saying, which is the bigger the jump into the unknown, the bigger the reward. It's always been like that. And every time I've switched jobs, I've always quit my job first without knowing I've been lucky to have savings, but I've always quit a job first and then let things unfold until the next job comes, including most recently when I made this big move to London last July, because I'd been wanting to move to London for many years. And I got there and I with the job that I signed up for, and after 6 days in that job, I knew it was like the wrong job and I quit it. And I had like 5 weeks left on the Airbnb that I was in London. And then I ended up finding a job that brought me back to New York, but the company was based in London. And the job that it brought me back to New York was actually across the street from my job in New York that I left on the exact same street. Mm-hmm. And I ended up finding an apartment here really easily. And just like so many things worked out that if I had not taken those jumps, I wouldn't be where I am right now. So for me, I'm almost more comfortable when I have to take a jump, because I know when I'm taking a jump, there's always going to be something. Because I've done it so many times now where every time I take a jump, I just know so deeply that something is going to come from it. My struggle now, and I'm curious to hear your take on this, is in relation to trying to find a relationship, there's not really a jump I can take. And so, you know, when I wanted to move to London, or when I wanted to find a new job, I quit and I'm like in the unknown completely. And it's like, I have no idea what's about to happen. And I'm so like just letting things come in. But now that my life is so grounded and there's no like big gesture for me to move or make, I find it really hard to trust that it's going to come when it comes, because for me, intuition has always been like this big gesture of like whatever. And then it's like, I have so much faith that things will work out, and they've always worked out. But now I'm curious how maybe you would rephrase, and we can chat about this maybe later on the call too, but like rephrase that intuition when it's a slower in that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if that question makes sense.
It does make perfect sense. But do you have any examples? Maybe the way your intuition, how does your intuition just communicate with you day to day when it's not about making a massive leap, but you can feel there's guidance there for you in the more grounded areas of your life?
Maybe I'm not sure yet, because this is the first time I've been so grounded, to be honest. I mentioned before, the past 10 years, there's either been like a move of a country, move of a city, move of a job. This is the first time where, or like moving an apartment. So this is the first time really where there aren't any of those big changes. And I've always been so connected to my intuition for those changes. I'm not sure yet maybe how to feel the intuition in this like much more grounded space.
Mm. But I mean, interestingly as well, you are actually in big unknown at the moment. You are kind of, even though it looks different, there's big changes going on.
I mean, yeah, it is. So it's like a huge unknown actually.
Yeah.
But it feels more stuck energy than of a jump. And I guess I feel more comfortable in that jump, because then I'm jumping down into something. Whereas right now I just feel like I'm still.
Yeah.
stillness is, I guess I feel more faith in my intuition when I'm jumping than when I'm sitting. And it's like maybe it's something like even like receiving and action, because like I'm more comfortable in the intuition that requires my action and not the intuition that requires me just to like be almost.
Yep, 100%. I completely get that.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of things, but when your intuition, when you're making those leaps, how does your intuition communicate with you? How do you receive that guidance?
It's usually, it's usually always like, kind of like you explained, like just an utter knowing in my body. And maybe it'll be when I'm at an exercise class or right before I'm going to sleep and lying in bed at night, or early in the morning when I'm typing. And it will just be like this knowing of like, for example, last year when I was moving to London, I knew from like November that I'd be moving there in July. I had no idea how or what it would work out. And like, I had no idea. And I just knew, like I would type like, Steph, yeah, somehow you're moving to London in July. Like that's, mm-hmm. it's just written in the books. Mm-hmm. And I just had so much, it was just a knowing. It was just knowing.
Yeah. Do you have any feelings of knowing that have been arising around calling in your relationship, even though you don't have any proof or evidence of that at the moment?
Yeah, I actually have had a lot of feelings of that recently. The COVID thing has kind of, the fear of COVID, I think, has been, especially because in New York and the States, it's just so bad. And it's like, who knows when we'll be able to like even see friends again and things like this. I think it's really like taken a toll. Maybe kind of like you mentioned how it's really hard to hear your intuition when there's fear.
Yeah.
And so up until COVID, I think maybe it was a bit easier for me just to have this like knowing that. And like, it's true. Like I was talking to some friends a while back and maybe up until 3 weeks ago, it's just like, it felt so much that this person was already in my life. It was almost unnerving. Cause it's like, it's like they're here, but they're not here. I've kind of lost that over the past 2 weeks, and that could just be the fear of things and just like not knowing what's going to happen. But this is also the ultimate test of having faith, like in this massive amount of unknown. So I've been kind of trying to work on bringing that faith back, but it's been a bit hard the past few weeks, and I don't know why. It's been really hard though.
But it's interesting, apart from the leaping aspect, this is actually still very similar to all the other situations and also the way that intuition works, which is there's a feeling and a knowing, but with my eyes, there's barriers, you know. Yeah. Maybe sometimes it's like, I know I want to move house, but it looks like the property market is a mess. It looks like I'm never going to find that thing, or I'm getting declined, or it's not coming through, or you're wanting to make that leap, but you can't see the path forward. I'm wanting a relationship, but now there's COVID. It's the same thing.
It's true. In a way, almost it's more similar, I guess, than if there wasn't COVID, because it's that block of like, how will something work out in some ways?
Yeah. And it's also sometimes a little bit of a test, because faith is easier to hold when we at least have a little glimpse of how it's possible. Much harder to hold faith when you literally have no clue. And in fact, it seems like you're going to get the opposite.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a part of the work right now is to find that feeling again that you had before COVID. Because, you know, manifestations, like the seeds here growing below the surface.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you get to the point where you're like, it's so real, I can't see it, but I feel like it's here. The seed's like there, about to shoot through. But then you go into doubt, and it goes, oh, okay, she doesn't believe in it anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly how it's been. Yeah.
And I would also encourage you, similar to how Brigida was talking about this conversation, I would actually be asking all these questions to your intuition. What do I need to be practicing now? How do I stay in a state of belief about this relationship with everything that's going on with COVID? What is COVID helping me or trying to show me right now? What's the opportunity? Yeah. We can be asking these questions.
And I haven't asked myself those questions yet, so maybe I'll try that tomorrow morning.
Yep. And the hard part is often there's an inner work element rather than the external work element. So the external part's kind of fun because you're like, oh, I'm making a change and I'm taking a risk and let's see what happens. It's harder with the inner work where it's like, oh, this is all just about me digging deeper within and coming into greater alignment. That's actually harder to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really great example. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna try journaling those questions. What was the name of the book, Spiritual Growth? What was the author's name?
Sanaya Roman.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Connie.
Love her stuff. My pleasure. Charlotte, any thoughts on anything you want to share around your intuition and your process with that?
Yeah, I think it's just, I've been one of those people in my life that's really struggled with decision making. I think it's because I have been so out of my body and in my head, as you probably know as well from how I am sometimes. I just jam my body out. And yes, and eventually, like around apartments, around, I don't know, moving countries and things, I eventually get to the right answer. But I question, like, if I actually drop into my intuition, I allow my body to drop into that intuition sooner, that actually I would save myself some of the torture that I give myself in my life sometimes. And I'm a lot better now at getting into my body and getting out of my head. It still needs some work, and I do really find that journaling really helps get beyond my mind, because I have these great ideas, I feel things, but then my mind can't, like, my kind of head jumps in, and sometimes I'm not very good at saying no, even if I know it's the right thing to do. I'll just say yes and people please, etc. But I think journaling just really helps me to drop into my truth, and just generally over time, just peeling back the layers as to what my conditioning has been, because that's where your mind comes in and you don't really know that it's there or why it's there. So that's really, really helped. I think a bit like Stefania, I find maybe not like her, but I find my intuition the hardest around relationships, because I feel that's where my head jumps in and I get so confused. Whether the feeling I have for someone is the kind of true or not. And I've had it a number of times in the past. I kind of got it right now and I'm like, I don't know whether this thing is real. And I think also there's a bit of stuff from my past where I wasn't really seen by my dad. And so there's that approval. So I don't feel like, I often say no before I even go somewhere. So then even when I then eventually, like months probably after I should do reveal my feelings, I feel like I've already said no to myself before I've even asked the question. So that's where I find it the hardest.
And when you do feel or receive your intuition, is it a body feeling? How would you describe, if you can think of a time where you've been able to feel it or hear it clearly? Is it like thoughts?
Feels like my body is flowing and it's and it's right. Like it's an inner knowing. Like, and you kind of hit on something and you know, you go, okay, that's right. That's really right.
Yeah.
And it kind of just all makes sense. And it makes sense, but without actually having any reason for it to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And is it primarily journaling that you access that feeling, or is there any other time that you've found you can feel that inner knowing?
I think journaling and, like, as you say, slowing down and being in nature, like when I've just allowed myself to quieten down, and it's when I stop and I slow down, I don't know, sit on a rock or I go on a walk without any noise, that's when it happens.
Yeah. And I think I love that you're all using journaling. I think it's an incredible tool. I sometimes have found, though, it depends. If my mind's too active, journaling actually sometimes takes me more into my mind. And I've made my practice a little bit more about the body. Because what I've, what's an example? I was just about to share an example of this. Because I find in relationships, I get triggered by something. That's when I find it really hard to know, is this my intuition telling me, hey, there's something wrong here, or is this just all my bloody wounding getting activated, right? And when I've tried to analyze that in my journal, that's become really confusing for me. And what I've often instead done is, like, I don't know, just rolled out the yoga mat or danced or, yeah, gone for a nature walk or moved through it. Sometimes I'll just, like, be flowing on my yoga mat and even crying. And I find it's so interesting. Sometimes I'll just drop into a space where it's just this spaciousness. And I'll hear something like, it's not about him. Like, if I get angry at my partner, it's not about him. This anger isn't about him. This is about your dad or whatever it is. Like, just the clarity will be there. And I can't always find that when I'm journaling or if I'm talking it out. Sometimes it's just really coming into the body and finding a deeper place where I just, it's like it just creeps in the tiniest little bit of space I make, that little bit of guidance. So I think journaling is a phenomenal way to access it. But if you ever find journaling is making it feel a bit heady, sometimes just putting that to the side and closing your eyes and just using music and movement to come to the body can also help help you find clarity. That's been useful for me too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been trying to do more of that this week, which has been helpful.
Yeah. The other piece too, something I've been using is voice messaging, like voice sort of channeling or just voice talking things out. I've come to realize that actually works really well for me rather than writing. So I don't know if I've mentioned it here. Maybe I talked about it in my mastermind. The voice app Otter. Have I mentioned that here? No. I came across this app called Otter, O-T-T-E-R. And they have a desktop version and a phone version. And it's like a transcribing app. And you can talk straight into it or you can import a voice memo into it. And it transcribes the text pretty well, actually. I think it's pretty accurate. And I've just been finding, depending on what state I'm in, sometimes if I really come into my body, and then I can hear guidance start to drop in and maybe I can't keep up with my hands, I'll just hit record and start going blah, 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 or I'll just start talking something out. And sometimes that clears enough space and guidance starts to come through. And so I've been using that a little bit and then I transcribe it to text and that's been going into podcasts and things, but it's also a great way to get guidance for yourself if you're someone that processes through talking out loud, which some people do. So it might also be something to try. Thank you, loves. Yeah, so interesting to hear everyone's experiences with that. And I mean, it sounds like it's all for all of you quite a body-based thing, but our whole process around it is a little bit different.
Just super fast. Glennon Doyle has a really fun description where she explains it as gold coming into your body, then solidifying, like a warm gold liquid coming in and then like solidifying like a hard truth. I really like that.
She described that in one of her books or is that on a
It was on an Instagram post recently. I'll find it and post it on the group. Yeah. Cool. It was a great description of it.
That's a nice visual of it too. Mm-hmm. I think someone's having a visual image to work with is helpful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Let me see. Where am I up to? You know, I think it's okay if there are times when we're not following our intuition because fear gets in the way, or if we aren't clear what to do because we're in a process. I've come to realize that the less I make myself wrong for that, and the more that I understand that as my, like there's my human self sometimes isn't always ready to act on what my intuition is telling me, or has a big process coming up around it that needs to be activated. As much as I want to and endeavor to live guided by my intuition all the time, one of the big things I had to do was stop making myself wrong if I ever didn't honor that perfectly, if I ever wasn't doing a great job at honoring myself in a situation, if I did notice I was people-pleasing, if I did notice I was letting fear stop me, whatever it is. I think it's important to have some compassion around that, because I did find there was a point where I was getting very hard on myself around those things, and that doesn't support that doesn't support you at all. Having compassion for your human self who might need to go through its own process as you are beginning to trust in and follow your intuition more. And yeah, even to Charlotte's point of recognizing, like, you might be having, old patterns and things you're noticing about yourself come up. And supporting your human self is just as important as honoring, you know, this divine spiritual self. So I just sometimes notice that in my pursuit to be more spiritually aligned, I've really judged my human self and her process. But I think it's about understanding both and being gentle on yourself with however you're navigating process. And I think a lot of the times actually trusting too, because I've found like sometimes I intuitively know something long before I'm ready to act on it. And at times I've looked back on that and like I said, made myself wrong and be like, oh my God, you knew that 9 months ago. Why are you still here? Well, there's a reason. I still really believe like wherever you are in this moment is where you're meant to be. Even if you know, like your intuition saying you could be or should be somewhere else, or you could be doing better than this right now. Not that that's your intuition's voice, but even if you can intuitively feel like what you're being guided onto, if you're still where you are right now and you haven't made the decision yet, you haven't taken the leap yet, you haven't overcome the fear yet, like you are where you are for a reason. There's still a process unfolding there for you, and that's so okay. Like I think about an example, my last relationship that ended, I knew 10 months before that relationship ended that it was over. Had a very, very clear intuitive feeling when he was away overseas. I just remember one day I was just in my living room and I just heard this voice and it said, you are each on different pages. You're going in different directions. You want different things. This relationship has to end. It was like clear as day. This relationship has to end. And I sobbed all day and I was so devastated. And when he got back from overseas, I told him, I was like, this relationship has to end. We want different things. It's really clear we're going in different directions. And he talked me out of it. He talked me out of it on an ongoing basis and kept being like, no, things are fine. Don't worry about it. Like, we'll figure it out. Da, da, da. And I chose the love that I had with him over honoring myself and my intuition. And that was in January. We broke up in October. And I knew the whole time that it was going to end. But my human emotional self of Connie needed time with that. And the fact, even though I can look back and be like, the breakup would have been easier if I'd followed my intuition and left when the time was right for me versus 10 months later, he broke up with me. And that breakup was much harder at that point. For whatever reason, we were meant to stay together still for that 10 months. For whatever reason, part of me kept me there because there were still things I needed to learn and experience. And so I sometimes find that sometimes we can have an intuitive knowing, which could be like, I'm done with this job. I'm done with this apartment. It's time for me to move cities. But it might be a year before that happens because there's still, for whatever reason, a process unfolding for you. Just like when we say, that's it, I'm ready for my partner, like I'm ready for a relationship now. And any delay that happens between that decision and it manifesting is usually just because there's still an inner process unfolding of alignment and resolving fears or limitations or anything that's going to fully prepare you for when you're ready to step into it. And so what I think one of the most important things about building trust in your intuition and in yourself is never making yourself wrong, ever. That's a really hard thing to do, but always making yourself right. Even if you can look back on a situation and say, I made the wrong choice, I acted from my wounding, I was people-pleasing, I let fear stop me, I overreacted, whatever it is. It's trusting that in any moment that you are making a choice or doing anything or responding in a certain way, you're doing the best that you can in that moment. You're doing what in that moment feels right. And it's very easy to be another version of yourself and look back at that and make that wrong. But if we constantly are making ourselves wrong, how are we ever supposed to trust ourselves? If every time we do something, we look back at it and say, that was wrong, you did the wrong thing, you overreacted, you acted out of fear there, you stayed too long. So what I've kind of been learning, and like I said, it's hard to do, but to always be making yourself right for anything that you're doing, because you are in any moment always doing what feels right for you in the moment, aren't you? You are. And I feel like that's such an important part of building trust with ourselves, trusting that we're always doing the best we can with what we have. We're doing the best we can with the resources that we have in the moment, and we're doing whatever feels right in the moment. It's one of the hardest things I find to do, but it's incredibly important. And so when it comes to building trust, like in our intuition, trust in anything takes time to build. Trust in a person, trust in yourself, trust in your intuition. It takes time. And I think, as Stefania said, and I can absolutely attest to this as well, the more that you follow your intuition and then watch what happens, and then you get the positive feedback of like, oh, that thing led me exactly where I needed to be. Oh, that thing's right. That I followed that and everything worked out. You build so much trust in that, to the extent, like her example, and I've had these experiences too, you can make the biggest, boldest leap ever and know you're going to be fine because you have such a deep trust in that energy. And I think building trust in your intuition starts with trusting it in the really, really small moments and trusting it in the moments where there's not a lot at stake. And when you know, and how each of you kind of described this knowing that you feel in your body, when you know what that feels like, you can use that now as your compass in the smallest of moments. Because I find it's when, if we start overriding our intuition even in small moments, it will be harder to trust it in the big moments. I actually had this conversation with my boyfriend last night because I became aware of the way I override what I'm feeling in each moment in order to not be difficult. So sometimes a little thing will come up for me during the day that triggers me or bothers me. And if I just trusted what was coming up and expressed it, it would resolve it instantly. But I talk myself out of what I'm feeling and I say, you're overreacting. Don't make it like it's fine. And I push it down and then we go to bed at night and I'm like pissed off. And he's kind of like, what are you angry about? And I'm like, I actually don't know. And then I look back and I realize it's all these tiny moments I didn't honor myself. And then it builds up into this immense frustration. And so it's a big, I'm still working on it because I still very easily dishonor myself in tiny moments. But I actually think it's the small moments that are everything. And that's how we build trust in ourselves as well, in the tiny small moments. If in each moment there's an opportunity to make a choice, as simple as, what am I going to eat in this moment? How do I want to practice self-care in this moment? What do I need in this moment? An opportunity comes in. How do I want to respond in this moment? Each of those moments, and I think we've probably talked about this before, but each of those moments is a powerful opportunity to be tuning into your body and your intuition, actually feeling for what feels right in your body, what feels like your inner yes and no, actually consulting yourself in that moment. And doing your best to act on what your inner truth is in that moment. And every time you do that, you deepen your trust with yourself and you deepen your trust in following your inner guidance and you honor yourself fully. And I've just been noticing how I can dishonor myself in these tiny small moments that seem like tiny insignificant things, but they bloody build up and they break trust with myself over time and they build up this type of dialogue of like, see, you can't do that. And I might make a declaration of like, right, I'm not going to do this type of thing anymore. But another part of me knows I could break that. Another part of me doesn't fully believe in my ability to honor my word because I've already shown to myself in these tiny small moments that I'm going to break a little agreement with myself. Now this is big work and it's not always easy to do. And we don't want to put any pressure on yourself to be perfect around this, but it's something I'm looking at just much more deeply in myself now is the tiniest of moments. Like even when I make a food choice that isn't actually really honoring me in that moment, or when I agree to put something in my calendar that I know I don't want to do. And it's so easy. Like we justify, oh, it's a tiny thing. It's not a big deal. But we're breaking trust with ourselves in each of those moments. And so every time we choose to tune in and feel for what the intuitive inner knowing is in any situation, and we act on that, yeah, we deepen and strengthen our faith in that in that form of inner guidance, in that inner feeling and in ourselves as well. And then we build up all this evidence. Yeah. And I think even like the COVID thing it's allowing us to slow down enough to look at that kind of stuff. And I'm in a pressure cooker of having a person here all the time. And it's a real opportunity to look at the tiny little moments where I'm breaking that trust. But if you want to build, say, deeper trust in your intuition, I think reflect over and journal on all the times that that voice guided you, that feeling appeared for you, and you acted on it, and either a positive outcome unfolded, or you were guided to exactly what you needed, or things just magically fell into place. And the more that you can build up a lot of examples of that to prove that to yourself, the stronger, absolute stronger your connection with that will become. A similar thing in a relationship, in relationships with any person. Like I found the times that something's come up for me and I haven't ignored it and denied it, but I have spoken up, and then I've seen how maybe it was uncomfortable, but it created this incredible resolution so fast. That then confirms for me, okay, it's safe for you to express your truth. It might be uncomfortable, but look how much more quickly and effortlessly a situation gets resolved and you get heard and acknowledged in what you're feeling than when you ignore it and pretend you're fine and then the situation festers. So I think it's in any point where you're, if you are questioning yourself or your intuition in any situation, see if you can reflect on some examples of where this has worked well for you, and then remind yourself of that to help you find the faith in yourself again. I mean, I'm having to do this at the moment because I'm just contemplating what we want to do with this apartment, or what I want to do, basically, whether I want to stay here or I want to move. And I've got my fear and my resistance and all my things coming up, but I've got so many examples, you know, as Stefania does as well, of when I was in this exact situation, when there were so many reasons to not make that change, when I took the leap and then just magical things fell into place. So you need to remind yourself of that. And this kind of ties in as well, but this decision-making process, you know, that it is sometimes really hard to know what is the what the intuitive sort of decision is, or what the right decision is based on your intuition. But again, the more that you become familiar with the feeling of your inner yes and no in the tiniest of situations, the easier it is to recognize that in bigger situations. So if I haven't encouraged this already, I think I have at different points in the course, but to be consulting your body and your intuition whenever you have an opportunity to make a choice on anything. Even as simple as like, should I attend this class with Connie today? Breathe in and just feel the difference, like showing up for the class or not. And maybe your body's like, no, not today. We've got other things to do. Or maybe your body's like, yes, this is going to be the most nourishing thing for you to do. And actually like that simple breath and tuning in and using that as a way to navigate your whole life. I found that's really, really strengthened it for me. Let's just see if there's anything else I wanted to say on that. And I also feel like the thing about knowing is it's never actually that we're having to make a decision. It's just whether or not we're going to follow almost like the decision that's already made, or the knowing that's already there. That's kind of all it ever is. You know how sometimes we're like, oh, I need to decide. I need to make a decision. I need to figure out what the right thing is to do here. Well, that's one way. Or it's actually feeling for what the inner knowing is. And then the only decision that needs to be made is whether I'm going to follow that or not. And if you choose to not follow it, it's fine. But I feel like when it's an intuitive decision, on some level, the decision's already made. On some level, you already know. On some level, the answer's already there. It's just how long it takes you to drop into that knowing, how long it takes you to be ready to follow it, and whether or not you're going to follow it. And so even if you're needing to make decisions on things, assume there's a part of you that already knows the answer. And if that was the case, what is that part of you telling you? And then be gentle and compassionate with yourself for how long it takes you to decide or be ready to act on that or not, or whether you choose to not act on it at all. And so this self-trust piece, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm trying to practice in this so much at the moment. It's just such big work for us as women. Because, you know, I think we question ourselves. I think women question themselves a lot more than men do. Like I was talking to my boyfriend about this. Men don't do what we do. Men don't sit there after a choice and then go, oh, did I do the right thing? Is that okay? And did I upset them? And like, men just don't. I don't do that. But I mean, I know I do that a lot, and a lot of women I work with do that. We're constantly going back and questioning and doubting and undermining ourselves, basically. Men don't do that in the same way. And you can see sometimes the different type of certainty men have about themselves, because they kind of just go, I think they're a little bit more simple, and they're like, oh, cool, I just did this, and then now I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do that, and there's no over-analysis about it. And so we've got to remember, you know, our point of power is always the present moment. And it's so important to watch, because I think we do it a lot when we're going back to the past a lot, or we're going into the future. But we're going back to the past and we're looking back and we're undermining and we're questioning ourselves on things that felt like the right thing to do at the time. And that part of that's because, you know, we want to be better and we want to be doing the right thing. And we look back and we're like, oh, that wasn't the right thing to do there. And I could have done that differently. But we've just got to let that stuff go. Like, we've got to let that go, because it undermines and weakens you running that pattern. And it's just got to become about, okay, that's the past, that's done. That felt like the right thing now. Maybe I can get lessons and learnings from it that will mean when I approach the situation again or a similar situation, I'm going to do it differently. But point of power is right here, right now, in the present moment. And so if we want to start to build more trust in ourselves, more certainty, more confidence, shifting out of that energy that weakens us and makes us question ourselves and doubt ourselves, and just coming more into that certainty and that knowing and that complete space of faith and trust in ourselves, we've got to be in the here and now. And then all we can do is bring all of our awareness into the choice that is present for us here. That's it. And even if you have broken trust with yourself a million times, I mean, when I was single, I constantly broke trust with myself. I would be like, when that guy messages me, I'm not going to message him back. And then I get the message and I'd be like, oh, just one message. That's not going to do any harm. Or, you know, we all do it. Like, I'm going to start my yoga practice and I'm going to do yoga consistently 3 times a week. And then it would come to the day to do yoga and I'm like, I don't really feel like it. And now that can build all up as evidence to prove to yourself that you can't trust yourself. You can look back at all of that and be like, see, you say you're going to do things, you don't do them. See, you said you were going to look after yourself, you didn't. You said you were going to honor yourself, you didn't. And we can use that as a reason to continue to berate ourselves and weaken ourselves. Or we can have compassion for that version of ourselves, remembering there's a reason I made that choice. It felt like the right thing at the time. I can look back now and get the lessons and learnings from that. And now here I am in this beautiful, precious present moment with another opportunity to decide. And what am I going to decide in this moment? And maybe once again, I make a choice that doesn't honor me. And if that's the case, okay, I let that go. Here's the next moment now. What choice am I going to make now? And I think when we commit to choosing to build trust in ourselves and build a relationship with ourselves that's really trusting, we take these little decisions a lot more seriously. And we we're like, okay, beautiful. I've got so many opportunities to honor myself today. How am I going to go with that? Let me do what I can to build this trust. And this, you know, just like if you have a whole history of breaking trust with yourself, it's going to take time to build trust with yourself. And I think it's, you know, even, I think this is even an interesting thing to ponder. What makes you feel trusting, say, of anyone? If you actually look for what are some of the key things you need to be able to trust someone, and that could be applied to your relationship with yourself. So I know for me, what helps me trust someone is when someone's in integrity with their word. So they say they're going to do something and they do it. That for me is a very calming, solidifying feeling where I see someone honor what they say they're going to do. And therefore, I know I can trust their word. I know I can let go and follow what they're saying because it's going to be matched with action. It's a really important one for me. But there's massive places I don't do that for myself. And so that's a really powerful thing for me to look at. If I know for me to feel really trusting in someone, that element has to be there. Well, I better take a lot more seriously the big statements, grand statements that I say of things I'm going to do. I'm almost like, don't say you're going to do it, Con, unless you're actually going to do it. Or don't tell anyone about it. Take the action and then show them the proof. Because I'm one of those people that tends to be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And then I actually don't do it. Versus how about you do it first and then tell people about it? So what's interesting is if we have issues of trust with other people, really powerful to take a look then at where we're breaking trust with ourselves. And if we want to have a greater trust in others, to look at what are the elements that help me feel trusting of another person and what are the things that break that trust. And then how can I look at that then within my relationship with myself and where that's playing out? So it's trusting, for me, it's trusting my ability to follow through on things that I say that I'm going to do. And I know for me, I feel so proud of myself when I watch myself follow through on something that I say I'm going to do. Another one, what's another element of trust for me? I think it's about feeling that someone's genuine and their intentions are pure and are coming from the right place. And for me, that means really looking at what energy is guiding me all the time, you know, whether I'm living in full alignment with my truth and my feelings, or whether I'm letting my mind and my fear overtake me. And I think I feel a greater sense of trust in myself in those real honoring of my truth and my feelings. And then also, yeah, like I said, not making yourself wrong, making yourself right. Even if like I had a complete meltdown last night over something emotionally, I was processing a lot of past emotion around something. And it's easy for me to look back on that and be like, oh, Con, you were completely over the top, you completely overreacted, blah, 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 blah. Versus making myself right for that. And being like, I'm so proud of you for fully allowing yourself to release that emotion. You followed what you were feeling. You let it out and you created the container for yourself to process that. And so I just think it's that, yeah, constant validation of ourselves in any moment as well. And I think trust is also about, you know, when we trust life, I think that's another element of it, is whether we have a story. I think most of you would have a pretty healthy, empowering story around this, but whether we have the story that life is against us and life is withholding from us the things that we want, and whether we feel like life happens to us, or whether we're fully trusting life. We're trusting when life creates delays. We're trusting when life doesn't bring us what we want right away. We're trusting when life brings us something that looks like the opposite of what we want. We're trusting when life seems to be keeping us stuck in a situation that doesn't feel good. I think that's another place we can practice trust. And when we're really in tune with our intuition and we're seeing again life, not from the perspective of sort of these ideas and expectations of how we think things should look, but when we're more in that surrendered space of like understanding there's a divine plan here, and even if I can't logically make sense of it, everything is happening the way it's meant to happen. I think that's another place we can practice trust. Because I as well, and I'm just sharing my personal feelings around this, I also can tend to fight with life a lot. Like I get into a resistance state of like, why are you bringing this and why is this happening and this is wrong? But trust is that acceptance and allowing of like, whatever's happening now is what's meant to be happening. And I trust it and I'm flowing with it and I believe life is happening for me and life is serving me and life loves me. And I think those three elements of trusting ourselves and our intuition, trusting life, and understanding what it looks like to be trusting others and what's needed for us to feel very safe and trusting with others builds this really solid feeling within us. And I think this is what allows us to step into the unknown, obviously, when we've got that trust with life and we've got that trust in ourselves, to not see how something's going to work out and to begin to trust yourself to open up to people, potentially men, if you have a history of feeling like you can't really trust men. And so, and this could be anyone, you know, actually, sometimes we don't feel like we have trust with our family. Like there's a lot of stuff in my family as well where I'm like, I don't fully trust you to be able to hold me in my emotions or to be able to give me what I need or to be able to be a unconditionally loving form of support for me. Sometimes we don't have trust like in our family members through our experience growing up, or yeah, we don't have trust in men, or we don't trust a friend who maybe hurt us at some point. And so I was thinking about this idea of like trust and how do we actually build trust in people? And I don't actually know if we can. Like we can never be 100% certain. I mean, oh, how do we actually know like we can trust someone? All we can kind of go off is what they've showed us through their actions, right? Or we can be really controlling. That's another way we can try to find safety and trust. Or we can be trusting our intuition. And that's what I came to realize when I started learning how to open my heart to men again, was absolutely he had to be showing me actions that proved he was trustworthy. And I think it's really okay as a woman to take your time before you, as we said in last class, before you fully share the gift of your heart, to see that that person is a trustworthy person for you to open up to. But ultimately, it's all going to come down to you trusting yourself. Because I have found the only thing that's ever gone wrong is when I have ignored and overridden my own inner red flags or warning signs or alarm bells. We've all done it. When something's gone off in my body that's like, this doesn't feel right, I should speak up about this, I should put in a boundary here, and I overrode that. And that's when the trust in another person unravels or some circumstance manifests for them to hurt me or betray me. But if you get really, really, really honest, and it's not always easy to do, there was always a moment of self-betrayal first. Where on some level you kind of felt like, there's a red flag going off, or I should speak up, or this doesn't feel right. And sometimes we don't. And so I really have tried, even though I feel so vulnerable trusting a man, because that's one of my scariest places to practice trust is with the masculine in a loving relationship. My work is just to trust myself constantly and not ignore anything that's like going off in my body around, you know, the way they're acting or what's happening. I just think it's interesting to reflect on it. Like, I can reflect on so many situations where maybe things went a little bit pear-shaped, even in a work environment, even like anywhere. And if I really trace it back, there was some point where I knew, or I got a hit of guidance, or something felt off and I ignored it. And if you do override that guidance and you look back on that and you're a bit hard on yourself about it, like, let yourself off the hook, but just, yeah, integrate the learning in that. But like I said, it's also about knowing what helps you build trust in another person and what is important for you to see and receive from someone for you to feel like they're a safe person for you to trust. And let me see if there's anything else here. And then, yeah, getting really honest with ourselves about the places where we are breaking the trust with ourselves and really owning that and doing our own work on that, in healing that and finding that sense of, yeah, safety within ourselves. And I think as well, the other thing I want to mention there about, this is where I sort of feel like last class and this class is linked, because we did talk about last class around what protects the heart is using your voice, speaking up, and also being in your power and having boundaries. But I think the other really important thing is knowing that you've always got you and you'll never abandon yourself. And no matter what happens, you can give to yourself and meet your own needs. See, it's again another big thing I've really had to ingrain around relationship is I completely lost my train of thought. Isn't that so funny? I was like halfway through a sentence. Oh my gosh, where did that go? Isn't that so weird when that happens? Hang on, let me just read my notes and I'll get it back. Yes. That even if something unravels externally, say money stuff or the relationship, like his love leaves, the full knowing that I always have me, that I trust myself to give love to myself, to be the source of love for myself, to be the source of what I might be dependent on something outside of me to give to me, to know and trust and believe that I have the capacity and the ability to give that to myself. Ooh, I don't know what that is, but I think that must be the post-it. All right, Brigida, had to go. No problems, my love. All right, let's just open up for a final little chat on that. I'm just really curious about this idea of self-trust. And if there's anything that comes up for each of you around that, or anything you want support on or want to explore.
I think it's interesting. I think for me, consistency is the word that came to me when you asked, like, what is, how to trust someone else. And when I trust someone else, it's just time. It's just over time. You see, you learn their, you understand their behaviors and their consistent behaviors. So even if they're not perfect, it's okay because you know where it's coming from in a way, versus if it's someone you've just met and they don't call you or a friend says something, you don't know how to interpret it. But if it's someone you've known for many years or a year and you understand it's consistency. So that was the first thing that came for me. And I think around you were saying something earlier that I wrote down around intuition and like trusting yourself in that first moment of intuition. And it's funny because I had this, the first time I had this thought is when one of my good friends who's a teacher, and she just gives so much of herself to her classroom. And one time I was like, Ramesa, you just need to be a bad teacher. Like, let yourself be a bad teacher. And then I thought for myself, like, interesting, like, maybe I just need to be bad sometimes. And then I watched Glennon Doyle's talks and she calls them more wild. And ever since I had that phrase of being bad, but I've kind of now used the word wild because I think wild is a bit better than using the word bad. Anytime that first feeling pops up, I don't discount it as much anymore because I'm like, oh, like let's be a little wild here. Like let's go against the grain. Let's like not just like sit back and relax and like not stick up for myself. And like I almost think it's fun now to be wild in that way. Whereas before, the decisions I made, it's because I wanted permission from outside sources to trust that intuition. So I would wait to make the decision until I had enough people around me agreeing with what I already felt. Versus now, rather than asking for agreement, permission from other people, I'm just like, be wild
and do it anyway. And ever since I've kind of changed my thought around that, it's been a lot easier for me, like in that moment, to just say it or be it or do it. And that then gives me more trust, because when I do it in that moment, you see immediately how much better you feel because you've honored yourself. Because that self-betrayal just, yeah, like obviously it still sometimes happens. And that's, I think, the worst. I think self-betrayal feels worse than someone else betraying you, because you always know when it's about to happen with someone else. If you just listen to yourself first.
That consistency piece is so good. I forgot about that. That's a massive one for me as well. And it's a big thing I've had to look at. I mean, particularly if you're looking at the external masculine, and maybe you're actually really good around this. For me, my inner masculine is inconsistent. And so it's a really big, particularly for a long period of time where I was manifesting men to show up in an inconsistent way for me, because I did have that for a long time. It was actually when I began to take my work a lot more seriously and be a lot more consistent and committed in my work. So my inner masculine was being really devoted to my purpose. I actually found it was easier for me to call in a man who was devoted to me. So yeah, I really love that. And I think when you identify what's important in the external masculine, you can see that that's going to be important for you to practice in your own inner masculine energy.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Consistency is a big one for me too. How about you, Charlotte?
Yeah, I think that consistency point is really true. And that's really interesting what you just said about when you were actually consistent with your business and those sorts of things. It's when other things show up consistently in your life, because I'm really not very consistent with the work I do on myself. And I think it's interesting, like I was just reflecting, actually, I think I've used my intuition a lot more than just journaling after you just talking about it, because I use it all the time with my clients, because I'm always trying to understand what they need and what supplements they need. And I can't write my notes for them unless I'm in and their protocols, unless I'm in a good state, because it just doesn't work and it's just clunky and then it all goes wrong for them as well. And I did a course a few years ago called Psych K, which Bruce Lipton talks a lot about. And that was amazing at helping me trust my intuition through even things like swaying. And I kind of know whether certain things are right. And also through that, actually, and I don't use it enough, is that you can actually reprogram your belief statements as well. But it's really helpful for you to actually feel it in your heart, actually what you want. But I really like this whole conversation about trust. And I think it came up in a previous, I remember we talked about it in a previous call, but I show myself on a regular basis every single day that I don't trust myself. And so I really think I've got that work to do, as to really trusting, I guess, having the intuition and also following the intuition on those really, really, really small things. I do it, as I say, with my clients, but I don't do it with myself. And I think that's what I really, really need to build up kind of the strength around, because unless I trust myself, how on earth am I going to trust anyone else?
And you won't feel safe as well having your heart open, because on a deeper level, you know that you're questioning, but you're not certain that you can trust yourself in a moment to protect that heart. So the heart's not going to be really safe to do.
That's really true, because also on the point of trusting someone else, what my big reflection is, it's not really trusting someone else, it's trusting me. Am I going to stick with my intuition? And that's what's happened in the past. I've had the intuition that I shouldn't be with this person, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm too scared to go and deal with the consequences of what that intuition is telling me.
Yes. Yeah, because there'll be that moment of like, choosing to follow my intuition and honor myself, or will I still choose, like, well, for me it's like an addiction to the love, like I don't want to let go of the love. And so yeah, we kind of on a subconscious level know that we may tend to choose getting the hit of love, even though it's not healthy, like over really honoring the part of us that says this isn't the right thing for you.
This really, and I think it's
powerful.
I was just gonna say, on kind of both of your guys' points there, it's kind of like showing up in your feelings and knowing that you're still going to feel whatever it is that you originally felt, no matter what the person's going to respond. Because I think sometimes we don't trust we feel that once we state something and then the other person responds, we're going to then start feeling something else. And so we don't trust ourselves enough in the first place to maybe say something, because depending on how someone else might respond, if it's, for example, sharing romantic feelings with someone, or if it's whatever it is, like, or just confronting someone with something, at least for myself, I've had to learn to feel what I feel no matter what the other person's response is going to be.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, not make ourselves wrong for also having a feeling if someone else then kind of not invalidates it but has a different feeling.
Yeah, because then it's like your intuition kind of needs to be at a whole new level, because it's one thing to feel something, but then it's a second thing to feel something and still feel it even when there's opposition to it, or even when it doesn't show up in the way that you expect it to show up. Mm. And then having the trust to share it, like being so grounded in what you are feeling that you know even if you share it, it's still going to be there, even how with how other people will respond to it.
Yeah. And the honoring of the intuition in that moment is the feeling of freedom you get and the feeling of love you get from honoring it versus the feeling you're going to get in return by how they respond.
Exactly. It's not even about how they respond, it's just about you sharing your truth.
Yes. And I also think on that as well, just because you have the intuition on something now, I think, Connie, from what you said, it doesn't mean you have to act on it now. Mm-hmm. I think I've gone, okay, I've got this feeling, I now need to act on it. But actually, no, maybe not. Like, I think then you've got to use your intuition to understand when it's best to share the intuition that you've gained.
Absolutely.
Daylights out of someone if it's, because otherwise it's not in integrity either when you're sharing it.
That's so true. And that's a beautiful dance, particularly in romantic relationships and particularly with men, because often we can be on a little bit of a different timeline. Like I found in my relationship, I would have very clear feelings of like, I want us to be exclusive and I'm ready for this and I'm ready to ask for that. But my intuition was like, don't bring that conversation now. He's not ready for it. Mm-hmm. And so even though I knew it, I waited and I actually held space. And then he came and initiated the conversations when he was ready. That was so hard because I knew what I needed. I knew what I needed to express. But my body was like, but not yet, because it's not the right time based on where he's at.
There's a point in my life where I think, well, I'm pretty sure I like him, but if I just text him out of the blue or rung him now and said that,
yes,
he would completely run away. But actually, how about just sitting with it and fostering it and then just almost, like, not leaving it too long. If there's a situation to say it, which is where I've fallen down in the past, but not acting on it now, even if I've got a feeling about something, is not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you going to say something, Stefania?
I think I was just going to say, like, on your point there with Jason and how you didn't want to share it with him just yet, I think the trust piece there comes into the fact that you trusted your emotions so deeply, you were safe not to share them just yet. Mm-hmm. Because if you are with someone who you don't trust your emotions with, that you would want to share it sooner, because you were not sure that they were on the same page. So it's almost like, again, it just goes back to being so deep in with what you know you feel about this person is coming from a healthy place. So you can then take that time to share it when it's needed, versus if it's coming from an unhealthy place, there's that fear element of not trusting it and you want to get it out faster almost.
Yes. And even to Charlotte's point as well, there's this, I mean, this really interesting discerning between, like, I used to sometimes be like, oh, I have a feeling I want to reach out to him, or I want to say something to him, I should message him. But actually having to really would be like, is this coming from my intuition, or is this coming from my feminine that's wanting some validation from him that he's thinking of me too and he likes me or he's on the same page? And this kind of takes us into more of a relationship conversation, but I practiced a lot of the leaning back and receiving, and like Charlotte's point, just holding what I was feeling.
Yeah.
Not always acting on it. So I might have had the feeling of like, I really like him and I want to say it, or I want to reach out to him and see what he's doing. But I would more hold that energy in my heart, and actually holding it and leaning back, he would then come to me and initiate it, which is kind of the roles we want to play in relationships in those early days. But yeah, it's a massive thing. Being able to hold and feel a knowing and not needing to act on it or express it right away is so powerful.
Yeah.
And then not make yourself wrong for not expressing it either.
Yep. Like,
you need to hold on to it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's exciting though, Charlotte.
Yeah, we'll just see where it goes.
Yeah.
Like, I had a big aha moment on Friday that I'm also not very good at admitting when I like people either to other people.
Yeah, that was for me too. And that was because I never trusted me to actually like someone. I never trusted myself to keep a feeling until only recently. But I always felt that I was always changing my feelings about people. So I never trusted to share things like that. But now that I trust myself more, it's easier. But I know what you mean, because I don't know if that's where it was coming for you, but I've kind of felt that too.
Yeah, I'm not very good at holding on to good energy. I just like to get rid of it often. So it's about holding on to it.
And something I learned about expressing like our feelings and like someone, you know, in the early days as well. Something what I would sometimes do is I'd feel it and then I'd want to like hold it in and then think of the best way to kind of express it, or I don't know, maybe my tendency is writing in a nice text message or whatever. But there's actually really little beautiful ways you can express how you're feeling in the moment without it needing to be a big declaration of like, I like you, and I, you know, which could just be something really cute. Like if you are spending time with him, just like looking at him and being like, wow, I'm having such a good time with you. I'm really enjoying this. I had such a nice time. These little sweet kind of revealing of how you're feeling in a moment. Because again, like I would sometimes, as much as we're saying we don't want to just let it, like we want to feel into when the right time is to express, I was also finding I wasn't trusting myself when there was just a very pure, real feeling in my heart of like, I'm really enjoying spending time with you. Like I would be afraid just to reveal that little bit of feeling. And they're little moments that just give a man a little bit of feedback on where you're at without it having to be intense or, you know, scary to them.
Mm.
I imagine it of like just a little revealing of what's in my heart in a moment. Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense, and I laugh because often my way of doing things is, I don't know, I'll get in touch with them and ask them a question, but it's completely missing the point. It's not going from my heart at all. But I laugh. I was laughing with my psychotherapist about it a few months ago. I was like, it's completely ridiculous. And I was then, I was watching an episode of Neighbours and it made me laugh because it was just random. I was making dinner and this guy goes up to this girl and says, oh, I really like your hair. And she goes, oh, what do you mean? He goes, I just mean, what shampoo are you using? And I'm like, that's exactly what I do. Rather than just sticking with that small little nugget of information that can make someone else feel nice, it doesn't have to make you feel awkward, but I agree. I think maybe those little small, I think it's the small things rather than that big reveal, which is where I've been in the past. And it's once you've got there, the moments often pass and you just make the person run in the opposite direction.
That's 100% right. Yeah. And there's more of a vulnerability to a small little revealing of how you're feeling in a moment versus when we feel like we can control it. And like I used to fantasize in my head about sitting down with Jason and be like, here, I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling. Now you tell me how you're feeling. And are we in a relationship? And men hate that type of stuff. And I had to like stop myself so many times from wanting to have that conversation. It was like my work was like in little moments, just showing him through my eyes, through a smile, through a few little words, just how much I was enjoying being with him, how I appreciated him, how much fun I had, how he made me happy. And I think that's much more like easier for a man to receive as feedback of how you're feeling versus needing to have I don't know if they really love that big sit down, let's have a conversation about where we're at, you know.
No, I can believe, and it's about the feelings, not the objects, which is
where
I go wrong, because it's easier to talk about objects rather than feelings.
Yeah.
And intuition, I guess, it all goes back to this big intuition, trust, and intuition.
Yep. And actually really, again, just asking yourself, because you might be like, oh, I'm going to sit on this and wait a little while. But if you actually just put your hand in your heart, really breathe into it, like asking, is there actually something I really would love to express? Is there something that I would really love to share with him or say? And maybe your body will be like, yes, but not yet. Or maybe it'll be like, yeah, it's really important that you get this off your chest. So I think it's going to change constantly. There's no real rules. It's just checking in with what feels most right in that moment.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Mm. Awesome. Beautiful chat, ladies. Thank you. I really enjoyed this. Is there anything final on that, or does that all feel nice and complete for you today?
I'm going to write solution all over my house.
I love these conversations, and I feel like, Connie, this is something that you've always talked about on your blog from, like, the beginning. Like, I feel like intuition is your bread and butter, and it's always, like, the way you explain it and talked about it has always been, I've just always resonated with it a lot, and the past 3 to 2 weeks has just been very tough for me because I've lost this self-trust and faith, because I've been having the fear of, like, the headlines on COVID, which are just all BS anyway, and so this has really been needed, this conversation, to remind me of that intuition, that voice that I know is there. It's like my best friend, and I really want to do some work with it this next week.
Yeah, beautiful. 100%. That's a really, really great point, is that's the only thing that ever goes wrong or feels wrong, is that, yeah, we've become too lost in the external guidance or what we see outside of us, and we're not listening.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm. Thank you for being here, ladies. Thank you for all your beautiful interaction, and I'll see you in our next session.
Sounds great. Enjoy your Mondays.
Okay, lots of love. Bye, guys.
Bye.